Well, good morning.
Yeah, I apologize. I have it in my contract. I only preach before 80 or more people, so you guys are going to have to pick it back up. It's good to see every one of you today, no matter how many there are. And I tell you, small numbers are just as important as big numbers because every soul is precious to our God. Amen?
Amen.
If you would, turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 is where we'll begin our lesson here in just a moment. What do these terms mean? Why does the Bible use all these family terms? Born again, brothers and sisters in Christ, son of God, adopted as sons, father, family, child of God. Now, for a lot of you, there may have been certain thoughts that came to mind with each one of those terms. For others of you, you may kind of be at a little bit of a loss. So this morning, I want to take a look at two things that sound like the same thing. And they are how we become a child of God, as opposed to how we don't become a child of God. And I'm going to go to Galatians chapter 3, because Paul is actually dealing with the how we don't become a child of God. And in doing so, he's explaining how we become a child of God. And if this is confusing to you, I apologize, but we're going to try and straighten it out. And we're going to read this text in Galatians 3 and verse 25 through 29. And as we read it, for some of you, you will go through a mental checklist. You'll go, I know what he's talking about there. I know what he's talking about there. I know what he's talking about there. But there are people who may not be as intimate with the Scriptures who will hear some of these things and go, I'm not sure what that means. So we're going to try and nail some of that down today in our lesson. And let me say real quickly before I begin, just a reminder, and Brother Jim has already said this to us, after the sermon today, we'll have the invitation song. Then Brother David Brown, one of our elders, will speak to us on the deacon process, and then we'll have the close of service. So after the invitation song, don't pack up quite yet. Brother Dave will speak to us. So Galatians chapter 3, verse 25 through 29. And I will tell you ahead of time, I had more of this chapter in this lesson. And again, some of you who are very familiar with this chapter will think automatically of, well, why didn't he say that? Why didn't he read that? Well, certainly those things are there, but we're trying to keep it down to a couple of thoughts. Galatians chapter 3, we'll begin with verse 25, we'll read through verse 29. Galatians chapter 3, 25, sorry. Galatians chapter 3, there we go, verse 25 through 29. Verse 25, but now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Now let me just tell you, there are a ton of things in there. There's a period, and this is what I really want to focus on for this morning. There's a period before faith comes. Well, what does that mean? We'll talk about that in just a moment. We use Galatians chapter 3, verse 27 to talk about baptism quite a bit. As well we should. If you keep a list of kind of proof texts in the back of your Bible, Galatians 3:27 is a good one to have. Notice that it talks about the idea that we're heirs of Abraham, that we're blessed by the offspring of Abraham. What does that mean? There are so many concepts in here that we won't really have time to deal with, but I do want to start with this idea of before faith came. Seems like an odd phrase, doesn't it? Before faith came. Well, to understand how we become a child of God, I have to understand that idea. Because there were children of God, listen carefully to me, there were children of God before faith came. There were children of God before faith came. That's not as good a news as you might think it is. Because that rules out, as far as I know, every one of us in this auditorium. There's not a one of us before faith came who would have qualified as a child of God. And for those of you who are familiar with this idea, you know why that's such a big deal. Well, let's talk about that a little bit. I said earlier we were going to talk about how we don't become children of God. This is the reason. Actually, how you don't become children of God anymore is the good news. That sounds completely ridiculous. Hopefully it's not. So who are these children of God before faith came? How do I become a child of God? And why is it that because I no longer become a child of God in the way before faith came, that's good news? And for that, we turn to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 41. And we're going to read verses 8 through 10. Isaiah 41, 8 through 10. Isaiah 41, 8 through 10. But now remember, the whole idea is we're talking about this. How did I become a child of God before faith came? So 41 in verse 8. 41 in verse 8. But you, Israel. Now let me stop right there because I'm always reminded of the fact that not everybody understands what it means to say Israelite or nation of Israel. Remember in Galatians chapter 3 where it talked about heirs according to the promise of Abraham. Abraham lived, had a son named Isaac. Isaac had a son named Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. And those descendants of Israel, or Jacob, became the nation of Israel. So in Isaiah 41, when he says, "But you, O Israel," he's talking to a nation of people. He's talking to an ethnic group of people and to a nation. And you have to get that. "But you, O Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I've chosen..." See, he's just interchanging Jacob and Abraham and Isaac there. Israel, excuse me. "The offspring of Abraham, my friend, you whom I took from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest corners, saying to you, 'You are my servant,' I have chosen you and not cast you off. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." So how do I become a child of God before faith came? I have to be born a physical descendant of Jacob. God chose those people out of all the nations on the earth to be His special people, to be His family. So what happens if I'm born a Cushite? What happens if I'm born an Egyptian? You're just out of luck. You're a Gentile and you're outside of the covenant of circumcision. You can't be a child of God. That's why when we read Galatians chapter 3 and verse 25, it says, "Before faith came," that's why we should get excited. Because we're all Gentiles. I hate to tell you that. Ethnically, we're all Gentiles of some kind or another. Probably, to be honest, almost every human being walking the face of the earth would probably be constituted being a Gentile today. There is no more chosen people of Israel. There is a chosen people, there is a family of God, but it has nothing to do with my physical descent. My physical descent. And this is where things get interesting. My spiritual descent becomes more important than my physical birth. My spiritual birth becomes more important than my physical birth. Before faith came, that was not necessarily true. My physical birth meant everything. Could I say, "I have Abraham as my father"? You remember the religious leader saying that to God, to Jesus. There was a reason they said that. What they were saying to Jesus is, we're the chosen people of God. We're the family of God. Isaiah says that. "I've chosen you out of all the people of the earth." Again, for you and I, that's not good news. The good news comes in Ephesians chapter 2. Turn over there, Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 3 also talks about the fact that this good news was a mystery hidden from ages past, but now that we understand it, the difference today, now that faith has come, is who can be a child of God and how you become a child of God. Who can be a child of God and how you become a child of God? Even Gentiles can become children of God. That is great news. That is us today. I can have salvation because faith has come. I can be a child of God because I don't live in 1000 BC. I live in 2022. And Ephesians chapter 2 really lays this out for us. And it's a little bit of a long reading. I hope that you have your Bible, and I hope you turn over there with you. It'll make much more sense, I think, if you kind of follow along. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Therefore, remember that at one time, you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at one time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Pretty stark. If you're not a child of God today, that's where you still are. There's a but coming. And the but is now faith has come. The but is now I can become a child of God. But before, I had no hope, it says. Verse 13 now, but, I told you there was a but coming, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in the Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Powerful, powerful words. We now have salvation. Notice he refers to us as a household. There's that family idea again, time and time and time again. Are we children of God by birth? No. Trick question. By physical birth? No. There's no such thing anymore as a chosen people of God who are just born into it and they're either God's people or not. And let me tell you something. In the time that Paul wrote this, this was a big deal. The idea that Paul would go and preach to the Gentiles, that's what kept getting him thrown in prison. Paul would talk to these Jewish leaders and he'd talk about how he saw this and how he did that. And Jesus said, I'm going to send you away to the Gentiles. That's when they'd start throwing dust in the air, tear their clothes, and he'd have to be saved from the mob. But it's good news for you and I that we can be in the household of God. We are no longer strangers. We are no longer aliens. We can become a child of God. A lot of Galatians and a lot of Romans and some of Ephesians is all about this idea. Can the Gentiles be saved? Yes. How do I become a child of God now? It's not through my physical birth. And for the Jews, let me tell you something. I have sympathy for the Jews of this era because their whole life, they hung on to the fact that we're a child of Abraham. I'm a descendant of Israel. Those genealogies in Matthew and Luke, that's part of what that is. The idea that I could trace my father back, in Jesus' case, to David and then to Judah, to one of the 12 descendants of Jacob who would become the Israelites, that was everything to these people. Whether they were circumcised was a sign of whether they were in that covenant relationship. They couldn't come into the synagogue. They couldn't come into the temple without proving that. And now you're telling me these dirty, uncircumcised Gentiles are going to be able to come in and be the children of God? Yes. And praise God for it. So now who's the child of God? Not just every Gentile and not just every Jew. Paul is not saying all the Gentiles are going to be in the household of God. Paul is not saying all the Israelites and all the Gentiles are going to be in the house of God. So what is he saying? We are children of God by faith, not family connection. There's no way we can understand how revolutionary these statements were when Paul wrote them. When Jesus, said to Peter, Peter didn't even know what he was saying when he was quoting Joel chapter 2, that on that day, all who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. All. God had to send down a sheet in Cornelius to convince Peter of the words he said years earlier on the day of Pentecost. God is saying, I told you all, I meant all. Galatians chapter 3, let's go back to verse 25 and 26 for just a moment. I told you we were going to try and explain these things section by section. So now that we've talked about how you become a child of God before Christ, and that you can become a child, be a Gentile and become a child of God. Now let's read that same verse. Now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. There are two ideas that should just leap off that page at you. I need faith and I need to be in Jesus Christ. Not only should they, I'm wanting them to. If they don't leap off the page at you, I'm telling you, faith and in Jesus Christ. Everything we do is about those two phrases. Getting you to faith and getting you in Jesus Christ. Because you don't come to God a child of God because of your physical birth. You come to God a child of God because of your spiritual birth. Tom Bogart prayed this a couple of weeks ago in a prayer. I love the phrase, I'm going to steal it. He told me where he got it from. You'll have to ask him, I don't remember. He said, if I'm born twice, I die once. If I'm born once, I die twice. Great phrase. That's the kind of thing a preacher hears that and goes, man, I'd go on 45 minutes about that. I probably still can't tell you the truth of what it takes 20 seconds to say. If I'm only born physically, I'm going to hell. If I'm born physically and reborn spiritually, I'm going to heaven and death can't touch me. There is no second death for the one who has faith, Galatians chapter 3, and who is in Christ Jesus. Now that faith has come, now that I can become a child of God by faith, once the idea of faith in Christ, now that that has come, my physical descent means nothing. Now that's good and bad. Because the next thing I want to talk about is the fact that there are no grandchildren of God. There are no grandchildren of God. I don't get infected with Christianity. I don't become a Christian by descent in the same way I don't become a Christian by descent from Israel. Now listen, it's a blessing to have Christian parents. Please don't misunderstand me. But having Christian parents does not mean I'm a child of God. I'm a child of Norman, Carl, and Nancy Jane, but I'm not a child of God because of my physical descent. My family is Christians, almost all of them on my mother's side. There are Christians on my father's side as well, preachers and writers and debaters. And if you want to talk about a subject that'll make you uncomfortable, I'll introduce you to Uncle Johnny and Aunt Betty. And I mean that in a good way. We are children by faith and not family connection. Our new family status requires new birth. Turn over to John chapter 3. I mentioned the idea of dying being born twice. Jesus deals with this with Nicodemus. We talked about the fact that Galatians 3:27. What you'll find is the Bible says the same thing over and over again. Not with the same words, but it rhymes. It harmonizes. I'll read some. We're going to read this in John chapter 3. The scripture reading was from John chapter 1. Galatians chapter 3, they all say the same thing. You know why that's amazing? Because they were written in different places by different people in different times, but they all had one author, and that author is God. So John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, introduces us to the idea of how is it I'm born twice? Because the person who's asking the question here is a Jewish leader named Nicodemus. He wants to go to heaven. He wants to enter this kingdom of God that Jesus and John the Baptist keep talking about. So he asks the question. He says there that no one can do these signs unless God is with him. Jesus answered him in verse 3. Truly, truly, I say to you, that unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It's exactly what Brother Tom prayed. It's exactly what the phrase means. Well, Nicodemus is confused. You may have been confused. He asked the question, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus explains further. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. It's God who makes you his child. It's God who adopts you. When does that occur? At my new birth. When what is old is washed away, when what is old is crucified, and when I come up out of the watery grave of baptism to live a new life, born again. God saves me, not the water. When I go into the water, that's when God acts. That's what Jesus is referring to there. He talks about the fact that the wind blows where it will. The idea of the wind there, the same Greek word for spirit and wind are the same. In other words, I can't see the wind, but I see its effect. In the same way, when I don't look any different when I come up out of that water. My hair is not dark all of a sudden again. My physical body is not healed. But I'm different. Because God has adopted me and has birthed me into his family. So John chapter 3 tells us how it is that we are born twice. Well, who is born? Part of almost every this lesson was two thoughts that I had, one of which was explaining the idea of the difference between a child of God under the old covenant and now that faith has come. That was the one thing I wanted to get across. The other thing I want to get across is this. Have you ever doubted the resurrection of Jesus Christ? I think you should. I don't say you should stay in doubt. Have you ever asked yourself the question, do I really believe if it came down to it, if it came down to losing my life and knowing that Jesus was resurrected, if I did the right thing, that God would take me home to be with him? But based on that resurrection, do I believe it happened? Not do my parents believe that it happened. Not that my preacher says that it happened. Do you, deep in your heart, believe that God raised his son from the dead? Now I said that to shake you up a little bit because I wanted you to pay attention to me. But if you've never asked the question, you don't really know the answer. My fear is we've got a lot of great grandchildren in the church of God, but we don't have children of God. Well, why do you come to church? Well, mom and dad go to church. Why don't you drink? Why don't you smoke? Well, mom and dad would be embarrassed by that. They'd get on to me. They'd fuss. They wouldn't like that. That's grandchildren of God. That's not being a child of God. To become a child of God, what matters is my faith in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, and resurrected Lord. If I don't have it, not that I agree that that's what I should have, not that I would be embarrassed to say different, do I believe if it came to, if I had to lose my life for it, do I believe it? Because let me tell you something, Christian, you got to lose your life for it. Now to John chapter 1. John chapter 1 was the scripture reading for us this morning. I appreciate it. It was well done, very well done. The light here, when you read John chapter 1, you have to understand a couple of things. We don't have time to nail it down, but if you have questions, let me know. Jesus is the light and Jesus is the Word, and the context explains that perfectly clear. So when we talk about the true light here in verse 9, there's no doubt this is Jesus. Verse 9, the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Who's given the right? The one who believes. It's just the right. It's just the right. It's just the right. You can believe that Jesus was resurrected and never serve Him. You can believe that Jesus was raised from the dead and never become a Christian. Many of the leaders of the synagogues and the leaders of the Jews would not confess Him lest they be put out of the synagogue. That won't work. But what you have the right to do is to become a child of God. Now how? It seems like Jesus talked about that a couple of chapters earlier. Born again of God, John 1 says. Jesus says in John 3, of water and the Spirit. Your physical descent doesn't matter. What mom believes, what dad believes, what grandma and grandpa believe, they matter. But they don't make you a Christian. What makes you a Christian is believing in Jesus. And then exercising your right. And submitting to baptism and receiving the grace of God by being born again. We'll finish with Galatians chapter 4. I mentioned to you earlier that so much of Romans and Galatians is about this tension between the Israelites, the Jews of Paul's time and Jesus' time, and the Galatians, and working that out. There's so much good news in this verse, I won't cover it all, but we'll read it and the lesson will be yours. Are you a child of God this morning? Do you have faith? Have you been born of God? Those are the questions. Do you really believe? I want you to think about it. I'm telling you, because if there's doubt in your mind, man, we got to fix it. You don't really believe. If you believe a little, Jesus said, O ye of little faith, we need to work on that. We need to believe to where we can overcome sin. We need to believe to the fact that we're telling others about Jesus. We need to believe that we're proclaiming the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ all the time, because it's not just some story, it is real to me. Galatians 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Do you want to be a child of God? If you want to go to heaven, if you want to be in the household, if you want to call on God as Father, you must. How do I do that? Faith has come. Do you have faith? If you have faith and you're born again, God will come to live with you. Did you see that? God has sent His Spirit into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. In other words, I will be transformed in my inner being to understand that God is my Father and to love and appreciate that and be humbled by that every moment of the day. Who gets into the house? The children. Are you a child? Have you rebelled against the Father? A lot of what we talk about is faith and works, and that's absolutely correct to do. But what we're really talking about is either rebellion or submission. Is God your Father? Are you in submission to Him? If you're not and you need help in any way, please come forward as we stand and we sing.